As Nigeria continues to fight through deep political struggles, there is a need for continuous advocacy for accountability, popular participation, and speaking truth to power. What then is the way forward? Civil rights activist and the Oyo State Chairman of the Socialist Party of Nigeria, SPN, Comrade Abiodun Bamigoye, in this episode emphasizes on the need for citizens to participate fully in the political affairs of the nation. Enjoy.
Comrade, good to see you after a long while, and thank you for joining on the podcast this week. Such a pleasure to have you.
It is a pleasure being here too.
Talking about activism, accountability, speaking truth to power, I think we all agree that Nigeria is in current state. It's a bit shaky for Nigeria. Things are a bit shaky, but from your own end as an activist, a civil rights activist, and the chairman of the Socialist Party of Nigeria, where do you think Nigeria is currently, looking at how far we've come?
The country is at the verge of a collapse. And when we're saying that the country is at the verge of collapse, it is because of the enormous crisis of economic politics, including social crisis, that we are facing as a nation. And the effects such has on the mass majority of Nigerian working people. So for Nigerians who could not afford to live beyond above $1 per day, which as you speak constitutes about 95 million Nigerians, to them, Nigeria is not working for them. And not only that, the country is at the verge of collapse for them. But at the same time, there are some Nigerians, especially those who constitute the government, they are living so fat at the expense of mass majority of the people. So to those categories of Nigerians that constitute minority, their population altogether is now up to 2,000. They're happy with the way Nigeria is currently. So if you're talking of holding those ones to be accountable, speaking truth to those ones, it will amount as if one is talking to a deaf. To my own understanding, a deaf cannot hear, no matter how much you cry. To those who are running the country, who are presiding over the affair of Nigeria today, they are happy with the way things are because they are benefiting, they are reaping fantastically from it. So if anybody says is trying to hold them accountable, speaking truth to them, you are wasting your time. And therefore, the best way of activism, or the best way to demonstrate activism in this era, is for those who call themselves activists, who are willing to hold the leaders of the country accountable, to also begin to be involved in the process that will make them to become a presiding officer over the country itself. And begin to run the country the way it should be run. But if you continue to think that those who constitute the leaders of the country today will be the one to be spoken to, and they will now have a change of mind, begin to run the country the way the mass majority of Nigerian people want, we are wasting our time. So what's the best way to make activism to hold political office holder or the leaders of the country accountable is for those who are activists, who are into the parties, into activism, to begin to orientate towards political power, with a view to take over political power and begin to run society, in the interest of the mass majority of the people. To me, that's the best way to go about it at this mature point in time. Anything short of that, it will amount to a waste of time, because no matter how you cry, no matter how you shout, a deaf can never hear you. You can never be audible to a deaf person.
Before we look into how people that call themselves activists need to get into power, let's talk about activism itself. Activism has gone a long way in Nigeria, right from the era of military regime, with notable figures like Fela, who used the music as a form of activism, to the likes of other great men. But like you said, you made mention of deaf people. And looking back at how activism has come a long way, it's looking like these things have not changed. What do you think caused that to be, looking at how far activism has come in Nigeria?
Well, like I said, the reason why it has not changed is because the class of the oppressed continue to look up to the class of oppressor as their savior. The class of oppressor has not taken the decision or come to a realization that it will never be out of an oppressor to give them liberty. That they have to fight for it themselves. It is true that Fela used music as a tool for social liberation. Gani Fawemi used law as a tool for social liberation. Many prominent Nigerians have played their role in cause of activism to ensure that the Nigerian people are liberated. But despite the fact that all of this has not completely ended the practice of oppression, intimidation, suppression, corruptions, poverty as we have it in the country today. But that does not mean that all of those efforts has also been without results.
Okay.
They have quite also been fruitful, if not because of the resilience, steadfastness, commitment, doggedness demonstrated by Nigerian people during the military junta. By now, we'll have still been under military rule. But it took the struggle of Nigerians, years of activism led by prominent Nigerian Fela, Gani Fawemi, Wole Soyinka, and the rest, including organizations like us, Democratic Socialist Movement, DSM, then, to ensure that the military were forced to quit power. And it was that gave us the modicum of freedom that we are enjoying today. So if that has not happened, one, the military wouldn't have gone. The kind of modicum of freedom we are enjoying under the civil rules today, though some people mistaking it to be democracy, wouldn't have been. That shows that the past activism have not been a waste. You recall that since the inception of civil rule, Nigerians has been battling with repeated removal of subsidy, which does not exist, which government always hide under to hike the pump price and make life more miserable for the mass of Nigerian working people. But each time they do this, Nigerians always come out to organize a fight back against it. And that explains why, up to today, the motive of the Nigerians, members of oppressing class, will have been that the price of petrol today will have been maybe 1,000 naira per liter. But it took the struggle of Nigerians to still ensure that it has not gone beyond the level it is. So all of this shows that all of the struggle of the Nigerian people, the activism in Nigeria has not been erased. It has yielded its result. But the only thing is that the result has not met the desire of the entire Nigerian people. And because our desire is to ensure a total freedom, total liberation of the Nigerian people from the shackle of oppression and suppression, we have not achieved that. And that is not going to come until when we have a government, you know, constituted by the workers and the poor, run on the basis of the socialist program. And it is until when we have such kind of a program that we can have a permanent respite to all of the problems we are facing as workers, as youth, and as poor people. And that is why we are saying that activism is not enough.
Okay.
Activism must also be taken to the level of a revolutionary politics towards taking over political power.
In your discussion, I said that you made mention of this oppressive class, the class of oppression. And I think it's important to understand why we even have that in the first place. So what do you think brought about this class of oppressors that you talk about?
Yes, because we live in a class society. And when we talk of a class society, it has its historical and its dialectical background, which one may not be able to go into now. You know, but currently all over the world, we live in a class society. And the class of oppressor and the class of the oppressed. And all the governments we've been having in the country from inception has always been constituted by members of class of the oppressor. And that is why all of their economic policies is always be to defend the interests of members of their own class against the interests of mass majority of the population. And that is why when you look at all of the economic policies of government, from it has always been either privatization, deregulation, commercialization of education and social services, you know, and such as health sector. And what that means is that the government is saying that governments cannot meet the needs of the people, that we should rely on the owners of business, you know, before the needs of the people can be met. And those who are in business, they are not charity organizations, they run business for profit. And profit is a product of exploitation. You cannot get profit if you don't subject some people to exploitation. So, and that is why in a class society, they always use the government apparatus to ensure that the motive of members of class of oppressors are met and satisfied. And so when you have a society structured in that pattern, it will take the struggle, determination on the side of oppressed class before they can be liberated. It can never come out of goodwill from the class of oppressor. And when we talk of the class of oppressor, it's not limited to any religion. As you have it in one religious, the broader Christian religion, you also see it in Islam, Muslim, as they call it. As a matter of fact, religion is a tool of oppression.
How's that?
Because it's being used to suppress the innate capacity inherent in human.
Sorry to cut you. Is it that in Nigeria here or
all over? It's all over. And that is why, of course, when you're talking about religion, we have over 20, 30 different religions all over the world. But it's only that just maybe 2-3 are prominent here in Nigeria. And that is why when I talk of religion, I'm not limiting it to the one that is prominent here in Nigeria. Religion is a means of oppression. It's a tool for an oppression. And that's why Marx will say it, that it's an opium for the masses. You know what opium means? Opium is like a drug, a seducing drug that once you give it to someone, it makes that person to sleep off. And that is the way Marx described it. Because from religion, they will tell you that you are destined to be who you are. That's one thing about it. So therefore, if you are poor, don't just bother. Don't think that it is the government policies that make you poor. Don't think that it's the government policies or privatization that makes you poor. You are destined to be poor. Don't struggle against those policies that make you poor. That's your reward. Is in heaven.
But lately we have religious leaders now speaking out. One is the recent case of this sacked imam who obviously spoke the obvious about the way the things are in the country, the insecurity, and how the government has failed us. We also, at least, I think last week, we had Pastor Adeboye coming out and telling congregation to ensure to go out to vote and all that. Don't you think that people are beginning to now realize that just praying about it or just saying that God will do it, don't you think that people are now coming out of that shell?
People are beginning to learn naturally from their daily experience. The imam that just spoke recently against insecurity in the country, I'm not sure he would have sounded that way, you know, maybe 15 years ago. But in the recent time, there's been a serious deterioration in the insecurity in the country. It's not possible for his close relative that have been kidnapped. Don't forget, these are the same individuals who have often been used by politicians, you know, to deceive the working people. But they themselves are beginning to be victims of the economic policies, midwife, through their collaboration with those who preside over the government.
So don't you now think that is a problem where until I am touched is when I can talk? Don't you think that's worrisome?
It's worrisome because the truth of the matter is that they are not being touched. No religious leaders are being touched by any spirit before they speak. It is the objective reality, struggle, the practical reality of life that is touching them, not only spirits. I was watching something on the social media yesterday, and it was laughable. One of the prominent prophetess in this country, ranked in the category of Adeboye, Kumuyi, and others. I think recently he just even launched a very gigantic religious center. But I watched a video 2 days ago where she was preaching, and
was surrounded by a three-armed military personnel in the church, carry gun. I was like, does it mean that our God has lost his capacity of protecting us? And it shows that they themselves have lost faith in the spiritual protection. And that is why they now begin to rely on the soldiers and police as the basis to secure their protection. And that's exactly what is making this prophetess, Geo's head of religious organization, to begin to sound the way they are sounding. The objective reality of society, of life, is beginning to touch them. Before, we used to be told that the severest means of transportation is train, but it's no longer so. Judging from what happened
recently,
a few days ago, you know, in Kaduna, you know, how a train was attacked, and as we speak, we have not been able to ascertain the number of people who were killed, number that have been kidnapped, a train of close to 1,000 capacity. And what made that train itself to full to capacity is because few hours before the train was attacked, there was an invasion of the airports.
Yes.
So those who were planning to go to airport have no choice to divert their way and go to the rail station. And that was how they entered the train, thinking that that would be safer for them, but it turned out to be worse. So road is no longer safe, air is no longer safe, train is no longer safe. And those are the major means anybody can move from one part of the country to another. And I think it is all of this pressure that is now touching everybody in the society that is making our religious leader to turn activism. And all of these are beginning to confirm what Fela said. So when people say Fela is a prophet, it's not just an abstraction. Fela said that, I'm saying my own now, that if you lie, don't say your own. But one day, it will affect you and you begin to act. And that's exactly what Fela is saying. And everybody now begin to be activists. That imam now is, I couldn't have sounded more radical than the way he sounded. Adeboye spoke a few days ago, and the way he lambasted our political leader, the way he condemned the Nigerian politics and economy, as a socialist, I wouldn't have done anything better. The only thing I would have added, which he did not do, is the way out. He did not tell us that all of this problem cannot be resolved on the basis of capitalism, that we need a socialist transformation of Nigerian economy and the state. That's the only way out. But many of them could not say it because they don't have the training and the knowledge and understanding.
So which then means that for the level of classes we have, the religious class, the social class, there's a need for education and reorientation on how to go forward.
Well, we need, yes. But that education orientation will not come until the working people have their own independent platform designed to play that role of educating them. And that's where the question of political parties comes in. When we're talking about political party, the role of political party goes beyond participating in elections. The three major role of political party is education, organization, and mobilization. And that is why during election, we socialists always strive to participate in election. Not because we have any illusion that the election will be free and fair, but that will always offer us the opportunity to educate the masses and to let them know that there's an alternative way the society can be run. If the working people, the workers and the poor don't have that kind of alternative political platform, they will always rely on the lies and misinformation being told by parties of the billionaires when the election comes. And that is the role why we are always canvass a need for a political party. And that is why we of Socialist Party of Nigeria always oppose the use of the outcome of election to determine the fate of a political party.
Okay.
Because you can't use an election that is riddled with malpractices, rigging, manipulation to determine the fate of political party. At the same time, most of the political party that are involved in this rigging and manipulation will not be dealt with, will not be sanctioned by INEC. But those parties that did not participate in the process of rigging, which explain why they could not win seats, will now begin to deregister them, say that they don't win some particular seat or number of votes and so on and so forth. We condemn that in Socialist Party of Nigeria, and that's why we always insist that election, participation in election or outcome in election shouldn't be used to determine the fate of... As a matter of fact, political party can exist and determine not to participate in election and limit its role to organizing, mobilizing, the people, you know, towards a social transformation of the society.
Let's talk about the socialist movement. What is it about? I feel that many Nigerians have not come to this understanding of the socialist movement. What is the socialist movement about?
A socialist movement is a movement for socialist transformation of the country. And when we're talking about socialist transformation of the country and its economy, we're saying that all of the commanding height of economy and resources that we are being endowed with as a nation should be owned by all of us and be democratically managed and controlled by us. That is what socialism is. Socialism is not about hatred against God. It's not about hatred against religion. It's not about laziness, because those are the things that we have been taught in the liberal economics as the meaning of socialism. That is not what socialism means. Is that it's an economic system that says that the commanding heights and the resources of society should be allowed to be managed by the working people, those who are producing the wealth in society, and should be allowed to be controlled by them. That is what socialism is talking about. And that is against capitalism, you know, which preaches that the commanding height of economy, including the wealth of society, should be handed over for individuals to be running it on behalf of the society. And that is why our oil sector today, through which we derive over 90% of our foreign earning and 80% of our daily income, is not being controlled by Nigeria working people. It's in the hand of Shell, Chevron, Dangote, Otedola, and others. They have shared all of these things among themselves. And that is why their wealth is increasing on a daily basis, because they are using it to get richer. Why those of us who are supposed to be benefiting from it have become a tool for exploitation under the pretense of the ownership of these collective resources. So to liberate this country, to set this country in the path of development, we need to recover all of this collective wealth that is currently in the hands of individuals, make it a public ownership, and let us begin to use it for the collective benefits. It is only when we have that we can begin to say we are moving in the direction of progress as a country and as a nation. And it is only a government that is formed by workers and the poor, the victims of the current arrangements, that will have the courage, you know, to carry out that task. None of the billionaires we have in the country can constitute any government that will be able to carry out that task. It is only a government that is constituted by workers and the poor, run on the basis of that socialist program, that we have the courage to recover our wealth that is in the hand of Dangote, that is in the hand of Otedola, that is in the hand of Obasanjo, that is in the hand of Danjuma, that is in the hand of Atiku, that is in the hand of Absalom. And we can begin to use that to reconstruct the society in the interest of the mass majority of the people, not as the society is being run in the interest of the few billionaires.
And let's talk about leadership. And you made mention of how we, earlier in your remarks, you made mention of how the citizens need to begin to come to realization that there's a form of oppression in the land and all that. But deep among the citizens too, away from looking up as towards leadership, let's come down to our level now. There seems to be also a form of abuse of power among citizens. So you find out that someone has a leadership role, a small role, and you observe that this person is only using it to siphon money and to oppress other people within a circle of 10, 15 people. And that's not just for one place and others.
Yes.
So for me now, it's not just about one person up there in the central place, but down here below. First of all, what brought about this? And secondly, how can we start talking to our people to go against all this bad behavior?
You are correct. When we're talking about abuse of leadership and corruption, it's not something limited to those who are presiding over the Nigerian government, whether at the federal level or the state level. Even in churches, you see people abuse leadership. in mosques, in the community, youth organizations. We have uncountable instances we can, you know, point to. But as much as one condemns this, we must realize that they can never be blamed for such, especially those ones that is happening at the micro level. Because all of that confirms what Kama said, that the reigning idea of the ruling class of every society becomes the prevailing idea of the society. What Marx was saying is that the idea of those who rule us have the tendency of becoming the idea that will be reigning among the citizen. What is the idea that is reigning among those presiding over us? Corruption, stealing of public treasury, oppression. How do you explain it? An imam spoke in a mosque and the government mandated his removal because they don't want people to hear a voice that will be different from the voice that comes from the government side. So when you have that kind of idea, you know, to be the idea of those who ruling us, there's every tendency that that kind of idea will permeate down the entire structure of the society. And that is why you cannot blame the manifestation of those ideas at some lower level without blaming the leadership of the country itself. And that is why Yoruba people say that when the fish is rotting, it starts from the head, not from the tail. So the degeneration in the society starts from the top. So to reconstruct this society, to change the destiny of this country and to correct the anomalies, we must be ready to change that leadership. And that is where the question of the youth, the workers, the poor, organizing themselves towards ensuring that they take over the political power and begin to reconstruct the society in order to satisfy their interest becomes the only way out. If you think that you are a righteous man, I want to be righteous, I want to get there, I will not be corrupt. If you are not corrupt, you will be corrupted. Not by anything, because corruption is the reigning idea of the society. So to end corruption, to end abuse of leadership, we must end the system of capitalism that promotes and breeds it. And that cannot happen only when the workers and poor come together and overthrow the system and replace it with a system of socialism, which is the only system that can rescue humanity, not only in Nigeria, but all over the world at this present time.
I like the fact that you made mention of how the ruling class and everyone needs to come together. But
not the ruling class, the workers.
The poor and everyone. But now you talk about an idea now, which means that there's a sort of mindset. And you said that which means that the mindset of corruption up there has permeated downwards.
Exactly.
So which means that there's a problem of mindset, which in my theory now, I'm thinking that if such a person gets to a political office, for example, that means there's a tendency for that mindset to still be there.
Yes, especially when you get, because the way you also get to power, you know, determines what you do when you get there. You know, you cannot come to power through a philosophy that believe that system should continue and you get to power and you want to change it. It's not possible. But if you get to power through a philosophy that believe that the system of corruption has to be brought to an end and agree on how to brought it to an end. If you get to power through that kind of philosophy, there's every likelihood that you begin to act differently. I don't know whether you get me. If you get, that's why the means of getting to power is very crucial when we're talking of what you are to do when you get to power. So you cannot separate, the two. So it is very crucial when we're talking about that.
Still dwelling on the point of mindset. So beyond employing the socialist movement, how can we engage citizens on a change of mindset? Yes, we agree that the top has problem, but don't you think that when the people have a reorientation of how things should be, for example, Nigerians are bad with sanitation. Someone is driving in the car and it just throws out a nylon on the road, expecting a miracle to clear it out of the road, which for me, I think is speaks more of corruption too, because in a way it's corruption to think that you can just use the public facility anyhow. So how do you think we can start engaging citizens on this change of mindset to act better beyond who is up there or not?
You are correct. We must not wait till when we have a socialist government before we can begin to talk of where what is wrong and how to get them corrected. I'm happy you cite the question of someone throwing out pure water sachets, from a car. That cannot happen in Nero, despite the fact that it is a capitalist society.
Okay.
Because the government has a provision for roadside, waste bin. So it will be difficult for anybody to just drop it on the road. And that consciousness is there. The government has provided this for you. So therefore, if you have a waste, in short, if you go to airports in Europe and America, you have different waste bin for different categories of waste. You have the one for plastic, you have the one for paper, you have the one for nylon, different categories. And you see, an average European will not drop paper where it's supposed to drop nylon. So see that they are so meticulous about it. And that was a product of training, because it was the leaders, those who are ruling the society, they've set the example. And that's why the followers have to follow. In Oyo State today, if you look from every part of Ibadan you go, there's no bus stop anywhere. There's no bus stop built by government to say this is a place where people stay to take a cab or to take a bus. And that has given liberty for all the commercial, drivers. They can stop anywhere arbitrarily, which is dangerous. And sometimes you even see those who call themselves OSMA, the traffic warders. They will be harassing the public. There was a time they harassed a man who was driving, stopped. The car was still on, the ignition was still on, and he was still sitting inside the car, still on the driver's seat. And the OSMA officer just approached him and they are saying that he has committed an offense. And I now told the man that if you know your job, you know that this man has not committed any offense. Aside the fact that he has not parked, he's waiting because the car is still on. Just show me a signboard, a signpost written by your state government that you should not wait here, that you should not park here, that you should keep on moving. That some of us have been to advanced country, places where laws like this is being enforced. It will be written boldly. Don't wait. Don't stop. Don't park. Keep on moving. It is only when such kind of symbol is inscription is made and someone now violated it that you can now say that he has committed an offense. But in your case, you did not do that. So I am saying all of this that yes, we must not wait when we have a socialist society before we begin to correct the anomalies in the society. But we must recognize the fact that all those corrections cannot have a permanent impact until when we have a transformation of society itself.
Quickly now, because we need to move. People have argued that the best activists may not be the best leaders. What's your reaction to this?
Well, those are arguments often come from people who have limited activism to the watchdog of the society. They will tell you that activists don't have right to aspire political offices. All we just need to be doing is to wait, stand by one corner, and to be condemning, in what the government does. And we disagree with that kind of philosophy. The best way to criticize is to set an example as to how.
Please say that again. The best way.
The best way to criticize
to set an example
is to set an example as to how the correct is to be done. And that is the best activism. And that is what we represent in the Socialist Party of Nigeria. We are activists, but we condemn all the philosophy, the economic policies of capitalist government. But we don't limit it at that. We always demonstrate with a classic example, this is the best way society should be run. These are policies. This is the way education can be run, such that it will be affordable and will be available to all citizens. This is the way a sector can be run that will be made available to all an affordable price. That is our way of activism in Socialist Party of Nigeria. We are not an armchair critics, and we don't believe that the role of activism is to stay at a corner and just to be criticizing without even demonstrating an interest of also constituting the political, without aspiring for a political power, you know, as a means of running the society the way we feel it should be run, you know, based on our socialist philosophy and conceptions.
So lastly, 2023 general elections is coming. A lot of things are going to be happening. A lot of political gimmicks are going to be happening. So, two advice now. How do we encourage our people to be politically involved and not just, like you said, stay in one corner and be criticizing? How do we ensure that people are active in this movement? For example, there was I saw a report where INEC said that over 700,000 PVCs have not been collected, which talks about a form of political apathy. So how do we encourage our people to be politically conscious and be involved? And secondly, how to be encouraged to always speak truth to power, even as we look forward to 2023 general elections?
The only way to make our election to be more participatory is for the INEC to ensure that the mass majority of Nigerians are allowed the right for representation. Because, like you said, over 700,000 people did not collect PVC. It's going to be worse in the coming period. Many Nigerians go to collect PVC because they need it as a means of national identity, not to vote. And the reason, because they look at all the candidates, which one do they think they should vote for? Which one do they have confidence that if he gets there, he's going to implement economic policies that will uphold their living condition? None. So people feel that it's a waste of time going out to participate. And unfortunately, all political parties, for instance, Socialist Party of Nigeria, that people could also look at as a party that can adequately represent the interests of the people in election, have been deregistered by INEC. So when you have that kind of a situation, you find out that the election is not going to be so inspiring to Nigeria. So people will not be inspired to participate. So the apathy will continue to be there. But what happens is that any government formed under that kind of arrangement will always be in a government of crisis. Because such a government will be willing, desire to inflict pain on the people. But the people will always fight back. They are not going to accept it. And that's why in 2023 election, given the way the planning has gone, party has been deregistered, party that also honorably supposed to have been the voice of the poor people, the mass majority of Nigerian people, have been deregistered, courtesy of an alliance between INEC and the class of the billionaire, the pro-capitalist politicians. Not only that, when you look at the remaining political party that will be allowed to participate in the election, the amount they are charging for nomination fee now is not something a working class person can afford. So ultimately, the working class person has already been edged out of exercising the right to stand as a candidate in the election. And when you have that kind of arrangement, you are likely to have a situation whereby the election will be characterized with a party. But the worst part of it is that all of the party that will be contesting the election, none of them has the plan and program to resolve all of the economic problems that the people are facing in the country today. Instead, their plan is to compound the problem. After the 2023 election, the plan of whatever government formed, whether at national or the federal level, at the state level, will be to increase pump price, will be to increase school fees, to make life worse for the people. And what that means is that the people are not also going to tolerate such kind of policies. They are going to fight back. So after the 2023 election, we must be expecting an outburst of a revolt, mass uprising, protest of mass of Nigerian working people. And as a political party, Socialist Party of Nigeria, that always represent the interests of the people, we are not electoral vehicle, we are a party of struggle, party that participates in day-to-day struggle of the working people, you can be rest assured that you always identify with those struggles that is going to break out after the 2023 election and will be ready to support it and strengthen it and ensure that the Nigerian working people is completely liberated from the shackle of oppression.
But don't you think that could be avoidable?
It could be avoidable only if you have a government formed by the people, run for the interests of the people, to satisfy the needs of the people and end poverty and misery in the country. But unfortunately, the government that will be formed after 2023 will be the government that will be coming to come and compound the problem of the people, and people are not going to allow such kind of government. So there's going to be a conflict, there's going to be a rift between the government that will be formed after the 2023 election and the interest of the people. And that is what is going to lead to the mass movement, protest, uprising that is going to develop after that. And like I said, the way of Socialist Party of Nigeria will always be at the forefront of that kind of struggle that is going to break out.
Quite a prediction. Thank you for joining on this week's episode. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining in again this week, and I hope you had a good time. Please ensure to subscribe to this channel from wherever you listen to podcasts. Special thanks to my sound engineer, Tom Lucky Media. Till I come your way next time, stay lifted.